What is up, guys? Welcome to Instagram Marketing Secrets, episode 73. Today, we got another interview. Boom, back-to-back interviews for you guys. Today, we got Chanel Whitley. She is a micro-influencer, a body-positive model, and she's really carved out a niche so that she could monetize her Instagram long before most other people can. Most people have to wait till, you know, at least 10, 20, 30, 40,000 followers before they start to actually make money. They might get some free products here and there, but because she was able to find her niche, and you'll hear all about it, I'm not going to get into it right now, she was able to start charging even like $200, $300, $400 per post, despite having right around 12,000 followers, just because she had a targeted audience for a specific niche. So this is going to be a great episode for you. If you're an influencer or you're wanting to become one, even if it's just on a smaller scale, if you just want to become an influencer at a level that might get some free stuff here and there, awesome. As far as if you're an e-commerce business, any kind of online entrepreneur, of course, there's always value sprinkled throughout every episode, but this one is mostly going to be her journey of start to today, you know, from where she started to where she is today, of her first year of being very serious as an influencer on Instagram. She has been social media, active on social media long before this last year, but Instagram is what really took off for her in the last year. And we're just gonna go through her exact timeline and how she did it. And I really hope you enjoy this episode, guys. Quick word from my sponsor, and then let's get into it. All right, guys, I am here with Chanel Whitley. She is El Paso's finest influencer. She has got a brand centered around being a mom, a plus size model that is very health forward and being very local to the El Paso area. She's got a large local following, and it's been able to get her a lot of deals just because she's found such an awesome niche. So she's at about just under 12K followers right now, but has already been able to significantly monetize her page. So wanted to have her on the show because I know some people that are like, oh, I need to have like 200,000 followers before I'll even be an influencer. How long is that even going to take? But if you do it the right way, how she's going to teach you on today's show, then you may find quicker success. So Chanel, how are you doing today?
I'm good. I'm so excited.
Yep. I'm glad to have you on. Thanks for reaching out. A lot of my interviewers actually tell me, they're like, hey, you should have me on the show. So we got to talking and I was like, all right, you got the numbers. We can.
I know. I had to earn my spot.
Yep. I was like, hold on. Let me ask you like 20 questions first. But picking up the kids in a little bit, right?
Yep.
Okay. But we got time.
Yep. We got time. So we're good. Okay.
Maybe I'll see them in the background banging on the windows trying to get in, and you can be like,
oh no, I'm at work. So I'm in my car outside my work office. I was like, okay, my husband can go get the kids.
Okay.
I'll just hide out.
So no crying babies or anything that we have to worry about. But let's just get right into it and go with your origin story. I know Instagram isn't essentially where you started getting accustomed to social media. You said you started on Facebook. Tell me a little bit about that and your transition to Instagram.
Yeah, so I started out on Facebook as many of us older millennials are diehard Facebook fans. And I live and died Facebook. I was like, swore by it. And I never understood Instagram. I dabbled in it. I just couldn't quite get it. And I joined my social media like journey, I guess, other than like a personal account, started when I joined an MLM back in 2017, and I worked it mainly off my Facebook personal account. I got a little bit of bad Instagram training, and so I dabbled in Instagram back then, but still mainly stuck to Facebook until 2018. I joined a different MLM, and I did really well there, and they actually had really good social media training, so I kind of did Instagram and Facebook at the same time. But yeah, then in the beginning of this year is when I really hit the ground running with Instagram.
Going full time on it. Was your engagement or reach and things like that on Facebook going down that kind of made you want to switch over? Or did you just finally be like, all right, everyone's on Instagram, I've denied it long enough?
So from a business sales standpoint, I did really well on Facebook, I think because of those like personal connections that you have there. And I made it to the top 3% of that MLM and I was doing really well, but I just kind of got burnt out of that industry. So since I had dabbled in Instagram a little bit and someone finally showed me, I like asked some girls who were good at it and I was like, I think I could actually do something here.
Uh-huh.
And so I guess because it was a little newer, a little more modern, I took it sure. kind of as a challenge. I was like, I think I can make something out of this. Something that I used to swear I would never do.
Yeah. It's funny. Whenever a new one comes around, even when Facebook came around and MySpace was really still popular, it's always, it takes a lot of effort before like everyone's like, okay, let's all go over.
But take note, because I almost wish I would have done it sooner, kind of like with YouTube, because you get in that like, and I still feel like Instagram's in that a little bit, that newer like time period, but sure. definitely. I probably wouldn't have wished I wouldn't have fought it so much.
yeah, definitely. It's always a little easier in the earlier stages, but you have been active on Instagram for just about a year and are already getting to that 12K mark, which is really impressive as just a personal brand that's not, you know, doing any reposting or anything like that. Tell me a little bit about, you said you got some bad Instagram coaching at the beginning. So clarify real quick that it wasn't me, and then I'll ask you more about it.
No, it wasn't you. And I guess Perfect. I should say this because I know there's probably a lot of people that listen to your show that are in direct sales or network marketing. And there was like a girl at the time who had built a successful business off Instagram. Supposedly, I mean, I don't know. But that was the story. And she put out these coachings to follow and follow, cold message people. And that was my first experience with Instagram. And I did it, and I did it tirelessly.
And you do automation software as well?
Yeah, they didn't coach me about that, but I think it was popular around that time back in 2017. So I think somewhere along the way, I found that. And so mixed with all of that combined, it was just not a good combination for Instagram whatsoever. And I'm still recovering actually from that now.
How would you say that doing too much follow and follower automation software, did it get you any blocks? Did it just find you weird followers?
I definitely think I got shadow banned at some point, but I wasn't active enough on Instagram that it really mattered.
Okay.
But the part that I'm recovering from now is not that so much, but my engagement rate. So for having 12,000 followers, it should actually be a little higher than it is. And, I think once I get to 20 or 30 or 40,000, like it'll even out, but it's not worth the price to pay to have to recover your engagement rate for that.
Yeah. Because it really is just, if they're not liking your stuff or engaging with it, then the only thing it helps you with is just the overall look of your total follower account, which does help a little bit, but I mean, people get engagement even if you're not an Instagram marketer, and it always certainly looks a little strange when they don't match up. But I have seen that you did just have a post recently that got about 1,100 likes too. So, you know, everyone's got a spread. It looks like you always get like at least 250, 300 pretty consistently. And then you've got that content that actually makes it through and starts trending on the algorithm, which is the name of the game. So I think that's what people really want to know, is what were the actual switches that made it so you just started trending and you just started finding new followers. Tell me about like the major big things when you actually, your content started clicking with people.
Hey, Bar and Grill fans, it's Jim with Madhouse Bar Talk, where me and my co-hosts sit around and talk about the things going on around Madhouse Bar and Grill in Elyria, Ohio. The whole conversation is unscripted, uncensored, and unedited. anywhere where you stream podcasts. Just remember, Madhouse Bar Talks, baby.
So I think the very first thing was Lightroom presets.
Okay.
Like, I, overnight when I started using them, people on Facebook that were following me on Instagram, like close friends, were like, what are you doing with your photos? Did you hire a personal photographer?
Uh-huh.
And like, overnight, people just started taking me more serious. It was crazy. And then hashtag strategy was a big one. And then more like well thought out captions.
Okay, like better captions. Thing. Okay, so tell me about hashtags specifically. That's when you started branding yourself as like, I want to be like an El Paso influencer. So you started using some local hashtags, or what was it, like some hashtag research trick that was necessary for you to do?
I can't remember how I figured it out. This is probably like a trial and error thing.
Okay.
But I guess I thought about it from like, if someone, who do I want to find me, or yeah, how do I find people? Sometimes it's easier to think like, how do you find people?
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, I want local people to find me. I want military wives to find me because I'm a military wife. I want other moms of four to find me. So I kind of branded myself with hashtags. And the big one was local, because I didn't know it at the time, but after I started getting more brand collaborations and ad campaigns, I realized these people are finding me because of my location.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So you just started to own the smaller hashtags. And that's something that a lot of people are like, oh, well, I'm using small hashtags and they're not working, but it still matters what they are, because at the end of the day, it's just who's on the other side of that hashtag, who's actually following it. So you kind of reverse engineered that approach of, who do I want to follow me? What hashtags would they be liking or following? Then use those. It's not just about the size of it, right?
Yeah, I usually try to get hashtags that have at least like 15,000.
Okay.
And I try to stay under like a million. That's exactly. Kind of my range.
Yeah, exactly. That's still a good size. And I never really recommend anyone go over 10 million unless, you know, you got like.
Yeah, but I always like the 15K, 100K. That size of hashtags.
Okay, but they also made sense with what you're posting and made sense with who you're looking for and everything like that. So the captions is another big thing, and I think a lot of influencers, that's almost one of the things they struggle with more. If they're good at taking pictures and they love to be on camera, or they have a photographer that takes pictures of them or whatever, they've got that part down, and then they want to just say, check out my cute dress. But I know you're kind of telling me, like, once you made the switch from just explaining what the photo is obviously about to actually teaching something, that was
kind of so I did a lot of like, I listen to a lot of podcasts and I try to like see people who are successful and like see what they're doing, and I notice the accounts I resonate with are usually telling like a story or something more emotionally like provoking. And I think people get caught up, because this is just my opinion, so you can tell me what you think.
Uh-huh.
A lot of the bigger bloggers, they do post, this is my, look at my dress, happy Friday, and they get like 10,000 likes or whatever, even 20, 30, 40,000 likes, I don't know. But I think smaller influencers try to copy that kind of thing, and it doesn't really work for them. And I don't know if it's just because like times are changing, so you have to be more like attention, or not attention seeking, but like emotionally like resonating with people.
Uh-huh.
But I've noticed that if I
are
post,
some of these bigger influencers you're talking about, ones that are just made from Instagram, or it's like the girls from The Bachelor that now have a lot of followers?
No, them too, probably, honestly, like celebrities can do it. And I feel like big influencers are almost on that level.
Uh-huh.
So I feel like they can post, like Beyonce can post a post that's like,
with no caption.
No caption, yeah. An emoji.
Like, exactly.
But that's not going to work for the average person.
Mm-hmm.
And so I see a lot of smaller bloggers and influencers doing it, and I'm not going to like barge in their DM and be like, you should make more provoking captions.
Uh-huh.
But like, I notice it even with myself when I'm being lazier, I don't have the heart behind it. I'm just trying to post to post to post. Sorry, I didn't mean to say it like that. I'm just trying to post to post to say that I posted for the day.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't do very well. And sometimes it's not even worth posting at all for me personally.
Sure. Yeah. If you're not having like a lot of value to communicate, then when your photos don't get liked is how engagement goes down. So
yeah,
it is kind of better just to be like, hold on, let me wait until this is a little
quality over quantity.
yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So what kind of captions resonated the most with your audience? And I know that this is going to be, you know, a matter of your audience as well as like what you're actually good at writing. Did you like to be educational and give like mom tips? Did you like to be more just opening up and identifying with people in that way?
So my brand, since I am like a body positive influencer, my brand has been more about like being vulnerable in that sense, which once you're vulnerable so much, it doesn't even feel vulnerable anymore.
Sure.
Once you post enough like body image shots, you're like, whatever, they've seen it all. Which goes to say, if you feel uncomfortable, just put yourself out there and your comfort level will increase. Not saying you have to go on Instagram in your bra and underwear, but
I've tried it. It has not worked for me.
What'd you say?
I've tried going on in my bra and underwear, and I've had to archive the posts because they didn't. A very selective group liked it. So,
oh my gosh. for me, it's more about like opening up and being like vulnerable, because a lot of people, once you start realizing you're being vulnerable, you'll find an audience that resonates with you. And not everybody will, but you'll find the people that do. But if you don't open up and you're just posting vague, like, happy Sunday, like, who is going to relate to you with a caption like that? Like, no one's going to know anything about you.
So not being so surface level with
the captions. Yeah, like, people connect with people because they feel like they know them or that they share a common, like, pain point.
Totally. Yeah, even if they're like, they like the caption and then they're like, I like this person, so I will like the photo.
If I post a vulnerable post, I'll get like 100+ follows.
Oh, wow.
Which for my account or my size of account, that's probably good for a.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Someone really with 500,000 followers probably would want a higher number than that, which is how bigger accounts grow faster.
It's more about that ratio of how many people saw it that then followed you. Like if that ratio is good, like, then
I will notice the paper airplane is like high when I post photos like that because people are sharing it or whatever.
Yeah.
And they're following and the reach is high. Whereas if I post just like an outfit post, which I do sometimes because sometimes I have a collaboration or something where I have to post just like an outfit and here's who sent it to me or whatever. They get like, I don't know, like 25% of what the good, like my well thought out posts get.
Okay, gotcha. You, when you're doing actual promotion for a company, then it's gonna be more centered to what they may have even told you to say. So before we jump into how you've been able to monetize, tell me, what came first, the desire to be an influencer or you just being yourself and followers coming and then you're like, I'm gonna run with this further?
Are you interested in small businesses? My name is David C. Barnett, and I've been podcasting and producing YouTube videos about buying, selling, financing, and managing small and medium-sized businesses for almost 10 years. I'm a former business broker and have owned and operated several businesses, and I've been advising business owners since the 1990s. Each week, I create a new podcast which answers one of your questions, and I've always got amazing, exciting guests. You can find me on YouTube by going to smallbusinessanddealmakingpodcast.com or just search David Barnett Small Business in any podcasting app to find me. I look forward to seeing you around.
I think a little bit of both. So I'm always striving for more, like in my like entrepreneurial mind. And so I think I saw that I could make something out of it, but I didn't know how it worked. But I'm the type of person that was like, I'll figure it out later. Like, I'll start now, I'll figure it out later.
Yeah. And you also had like the MLM.
Yeah.
And you're not involved in an MLM right now, correct? But you've done a couple. And that almost inspired you a little bit to take it more seriously.
Yeah. Well, because social media is such a big part of MLMs now. You have to have a good social media presence for that, usually. So I learned a lot from that as far as that goes. But I was burnt out. Like, to me, an MLM at that point, once I kind of got burnt out, I was wanting to do something for myself. Because even though you technically, like, they say you work for yourself with an MLM, you kind of don't, because most of them have teams now and you work under someone, and it doesn't feel like you work for yourself.
Okay.
So I was like, I just want to do something that's mine. Like, I'm in control, whatever. But I actually didn't understand how affiliate marketing worked, how ads worked, any of that. I just was like, I'm going to dive in and I'll figure it out as I go.
Yeah. Yeah. Just add one thing at a time.
I definitely, when I started, I knew that I wanted to be different, as in I wanted to make more of an impact than just like make it a business.
Okay.
So that's why I say it's both.
Okay, cool. It always liked just social media in general. Once there's other motives in it, then it makes it easier to know what you should post as well and who you're going for. So kind of just snowballed from there. At what follower level was the first deal that you ever got made, even if it wasn't money, you just got something for free? What was that follower number?
I would say like just under 5,000.
Okay.
Which, let me say, when I first started Instagram, I already had, when I say started, I mean this year, when I was like, I got the presets, started taking good photos, started taking it seriously, making a cohesive feed and all of that. I already had like 4,000 something from back when I did like follow and follow bots, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So what really changed wasn't the followers, but I started to look like a brand because I changed my feed and everything.
Okay.
So immediately after that, it's not like they were pouring in by any means, but it wasn't very long before I got like a brand emailing me, which was actually like a local dentist office or something like that.
So the dentist office, that was the first one. And they were,
that was the first one. And it's so funny because they asked me for a media kit and I was like, I have no idea what a media kit is. Like, what?
So you Googled it.
So because I didn't know, I literally was like, I'll just do it for free.
Oh, dang.
Like, it was so stupid. And so I ended up doing this whole, I mean, I got the free like services, but my insurance probably would have paid for it anyway. But I was so excited anyway that I was promoting someone, even though it was for free.
And they probably got like a free teeth cleaning out of it or something.
Yeah, they did me and my kids, like, cleaned our teeth, but it's funny, they were offering to pay me, they just wanted my media kit, and I didn't have one.
Oh, dang. Well, that's awesome. You have four kids, and then you got taken care of, so you got five cleanings, which is at least $60, like a minimum.
Yeah.
So you did kind of get paid, even if insurance, whatever, you're like, I'm a star.
Yeah, and honestly, I still have that relationship, like, I've done fundraisers, and they've, like, donated stuff, so, like, it's still, like, a contact that I have.
Cool. And did that connection make you start to realize, what if I just focus on local businesses, or what other trades can I make in my local market?
It's funny because I don't think it clicked for me then, because I had no idea what I was doing, to be completely honest. I was like, what? I don't know what they're asking for. Like, but I think when it hit me for the local thing, that should have been the clue, but I think when it just became more consistent, like when cell phone companies like were having a local campaign, because I've had two major cell phone companies. Well, how many are there? Three or four? I've already worked with two of them because they had local campaigns or whatever. And I think once I realized a lot of these big companies were having regional campaigns, that's when it kind of clicked for me.
Okay. And that's when you got, was that the deal that you told me where they told you their budget was 400 or something?
No, that was a restaurant.
That was a restaurant. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So it was, you did one for AT&T and then was it like Verizon or something?
Yeah, I did one for AT&T. I am working with Verizon now. I'm actually going, they're paying for me to go to San Francisco next or tomorrow for 3 days for Verizon Summit. So
for Verizon Influencer Summit?
What?
Is it like a Verizon Influencer Summit or?
Yeah, for military wives or something, and there's show, I don't actually know because I don't have the itinerary yet.
Oh wow.
But yeah, we're going to see new technology and we'll see what happens.
They bought your flight and the hotel
and food, and there's like a gala type thing, so we have to like dress like all fancy. So oh, wow. I'm pretty excited.
And you're all like, I don't know why we're here, but I'm gonna post about them when I get back home. Dang, that's crazy. So the thing is though, you did.
And my friend, which she'll probably listen to this, she actually has less followers than me. She has good engagement though. She's going too. So she has like 6,000 followers and they're paid for her to go. So it's not even like you have to be this huge influencer.
Wow. Okay. So you just got is she branded as a El Paso influencer?
Yeah, well, she is. She gets a lot of the same emails as me, actually.
Okay. So yeah. Because you were able to be, I'm a local influencer for anyone looking for marketing in the city. And when these big companies are like, all right, which city do we need to attack next? Because Verizon might be looking at, hey, we only have 20% of El Paso residents with Verizon. What's the deal? Right. Then they're like, all right, yeah, we got to find El Paso influencers. And they're not looking, even though there might be some influencers that are like, I'm an American influencer, right? Like they don't really like, they're not branding themselves to be around the town they're in.
And even if you're in a smaller city, because El Paso is actually pretty big. Uh-huh. Because I'm actually from a small town in Kansas. Military brought me here. I would hashtag my small town if I lived there, just for an example. Mm-hmm. I would hashtag it. But I would also hashtag the closest big city. So Kansas City is 2 hours away from my hometown. So I would hashtag Kansas City, KCMO, KC Kansas. I would hashtag Kansas City blogger. Like, mm-hmm. So think of like big cities close to you. What'd you say?
Have you done Kansas City influencer?
No, I haven't done that one. Okay. Yeah, I should do that one too.
I would try some of those because that's a good way to actually find influencers as well, as I'll start on the blah blah blah.
I'll do that one too. I actually have gotten emails for campaigns in Kansas City and I have to be like, unfortunately I don't live there, and then they don't really want me anymore.
Oh wow. Yeah, they're just so they're finding you
because it'll be like a local place that they want you to come like physically be there.
Uh-huh.
And like I can't do that, so but yeah, so okay. I still hashtag Kansas City just because it's my home turf, and to turn down. Yeah.
Gotcha. You could be like, I can drive there, it's fine.
Just yeah, right. Sometimes I'll be like, if like these media companies will post things, I'll be like, I'll fly there.
Yeah, right. Just you pay for it, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So essentially, because you're playing in this smaller pool of when they're looking for an El Paso influencer. So you said body positive is like one of your branding things. So like they can be like, all right, let's find a body positive influencer. Oh, 500K. And she's not locally branded. So they might be like, oh, well, yeah, but she's like locally branded and has that local following. And that's really what our campaign is. So when they then look, then their options are you or some of your other friends that are around that same follower total. So because of that, I won't talk about which company paid you what, but you have told me that, you know, you've gotten 300 for a post before, 400 for a post before, and generally speaking, 11K followers doesn't demand that unless you're exactly what that company wants.
Yeah.
Am I understanding that correctly? That's kind of how you've been able to charge higher pricing rather than just being like, oh yeah.
Yeah, I've just noticed that they're willing to pay more if it's like a target, like, because I've noticed there's other websites you can go on, like Social Fabric, and like I don't even know all of them, and they will be like a national campaign for like random things like International Delight coffee creamer or whatever, just random thing.
Uh-huh.
And they will pay $200, $300, $400, even $500 for a post, but you're competing with a national pool of influencers.
Mm-hmm.
And so those are really hard to get. And I've noticed, at least for me, they're hard to get. I don't know.
But yeah, eventually, maybe once you're over like 50 or 100, then that's when you'll be playing.
There might
that
be easier
pool
to get then, yeah. Because
mm-hmm.
You have to have 10K to even get on some of these sites. And if you only have 10 or 11, 12, you might still be on the low end of what they're looking for.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, I've noticed when it's local and it's niche, like they're willing to pay. And sometimes I won't even say my rate. Sometimes they ask, but I usually try to have them spit me their number first.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes it's more than what I was going to ask for. So I just think they're willing to pay more when it's when they know what they want.
A lot of these companies come into it with a budget and they're like, as long as she says a number that's this or less, we'll do it. But if they can just tell you that number before you say a number, then sometimes you can get that better deal. So let's tie this into the media kit too, because so after you Googled media kit, what did you learn and what can you tell us what it is?
Okay, so a media kit, which, like I said before, that dentist office asked me for one, and I was like, I don't know what that is.
Uh-huh.
And so I was like, I guess I better figure it out for next time. And a lot of brands don't ask me for it. It's funny because they were the first one, and a lot don't ask. But what I actually use it for is to outreach myself, because it's more professional and it's easier because you just attach it as an attachment. So I use Canva. You can probably use any kind of like publishing site like that. And I just Googled media kits for like what it's like a resume for social media. So you Google it, everyone's going to have a little different format, template, whatever. But I just kind of copied the information that I liked. So mine has what my community is about. It has my best pictures. And at the time when I made it, my pictures weren't that great. But I just put the best ones that I had. I just put two. So I put one on the cover and one on the second page. And I just put a little paragraph about my community and my platform, a little paragraph about me as a person, and then my stats. So I put like how many of my visitors are women, or kind of whatever brand you're going to reach out to, you want to tweak the stats. Like obviously keep them real, like what your real stats are.
Uh-huh.
But like, it's like your resume. Put on there what you know they're looking for.
Yeah, yeah. Present them with obviously the real information, but the real information that is actually going to be relevant to them. I actually have it pulled up right now. So it's basically this two-page document with the pink and white theme. It's real cute, something I could never make because I don't have the
I don't even like pink, but it was the best template I could find.
Oh, yeah. Okay, it's a template. So yeah, Canva. I mean, Canva's so awesome. So yeah, it's basically got your about your community, a little bit about you as far as, you know, what brand of influence you are. You got your weekly reach, weekly impressions, how many followers you have, engagement rate, unique visitors per week, stats like that are really good. And then like stats about your audience and, you know, like right here, 75% female ages 20 to 44, the stats that these people are looking for. And that's how you not only can send them that info if they ask you for it, but you said that's kind of how you've done some outreach when you're looking.
Yeah. So my first big one was a local tattoo removal doctor who is awesome. I actually reached out to a couple local tattoo removal places. And because I wanted this tattoo on my chest removed, it's like halfway gone now. So it looks all like beat up. But
I see it's the Instagram Marketing Secrets podcast tattoo, which I thanks so much for getting that. But why are you getting it removed?
So I just sent him I sent the email. Like I went to their website, found their contact email, and was like, local influencer collaboration. This was like the first one that I ever did, I think. And that I outreached myself, and I was like, just wanting to know if you want to work with a local influencer for a marketing campaign for your office. Here's my media kit for, let me know if you have any questions. And yeah, that was my first one.
Okay. And they traded service or service and money?
I traded service. In hindsight, I know people who ask for service and money, but I wasn't comfortable at that level yet. Because I think at that point I had like 6,000 followers.
Okay. And it's already a decently expensive service.
Yeah, like it's, once it's all said and done, it's probably like over $1,000.
Oh, wow. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, 6,000 followers, and then you needed tattoo removal.
I know people who at 10,000 followers traded their, like, traded their services for Botox, traded their services for, like, hair extensions.
Uh-huh.
Like, my friend, one of my good friends, she's like, yeah, I get whatever I want.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, but marketing is... That's probably the thing that's almost newer, because we were talking about, like, you know, Instagram is still a newer platform, and even though it's like 7 or 8 years old and it's maybe starting to plateau a little bit, like it's still gaining, but it's, you know, maybe plateauing on total followers, is that a lot of businesses are new to catching on to, all right, what's this influencer marketing thing that we've heard about for 3 years, but we thought sounded stupid. And now that more companies are coming in looking for that, It makes the opportunity a little bit easier.
It does make it easier, because, and I think that it'll change a little bit. Like, that's why engagement's going to be so important, because, or it is important, but I think it's going to become more important, because I think right now some brands don't understand the analytics. Uh-huh. And so they'll hire you based on your follower count or whatever. But I think as time goes on, like, your engagement's really going to matter even more. So that's why I definitely wouldn't do follow and follow and bots and buying followers and all that.
yeah, because that's, they're gonna catch on to what's the second stat we should ask for. Ask for followers. We only asked for followers last time, and the post got 4 likes, even then they have 100k. Okay, so yeah, engagement percentage, very important, because they will be able to look that up using websites like Flanx.com, PHLANX.com. That's, I believe, the main one. That's what I use, but you can get like a hard number. That's what you've used as well?
I've used that one, yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah. So you can get like a hard number on your engagement percentage. And generally speaking, anything over 3 when you're over 10K is like the good to great range is like 3 to 10%. Or like 3 to 7%. Or, I mean, anything over 2 is still a lot more than a lot of people have at that level. But I definitely
feel better when I'm like above 3.
yeah, definitely. Because the stat from Sprout Social last year was that the average was 1.6. So that's probably the number they're seeing. And if you're over that, then you look good in their eyes.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So what are some of, apart from going to San Francisco tomorrow and who knows what they'll teach you there, what are some of your plans that you're excited for in the future? And what doors do you think have opened up that you're like, you know what, this is like the next thing that I want to go for with influencer marketing, or I need to do more reach out. I need to find more companies that do this. What's something that you're excited for?
Okay, something I'm really excited for that I just actually learned from another, like, much larger influencer than me is she donates one ad campaign a month to either, like, followers who, like, nominate people or, like, charities or whatever, and she put out this challenge, like, all influencers should, you know, if they want to donate one ad campaign a month. So now I'm like, okay, I'm totally going to do that, because it's going to make me more excited about my ads, because I got to a point where I was, like, getting burnt out with ads. Like, I was like, I don't know, like, if I'm in it for the right reasons anymore. And then, like, that relit my fire and, like, reminded me, like, there can be a good side to this. And if more people saw that, that they might actually, and I've noticed that with her account specifically, like, people engage with her ads now because they know that she's, like, doing good things.
And
so,
because
she literally will tell people, we need more engagement on these ads. Like, don't just scroll past them. Like, if you want me to get more ads to help these people or whatever, like, you have to comment on my ads. And it's just, like, so heartwarming, I guess is the word, to see that people will, like, pay attention to an ad now that they know that it's not just for whatever, you know?
Yeah, at the beginning, if you're only getting deals here and there, you kind of want to, like, take them because you're like, well, it's that or nothing. And then as you get bigger, if you get more people reaching out, then you can be selective with which brands do I actually want to promote and are in line with my brand. But then you can support a charity or whatever that you want to donate to. And I mean, people, like, everyone wants to help out with charity, right? But it's like, how do I do it without just sending you like $50 every month? So that's a cool way.
Yeah, that's a way. Like, they can help you help charity by engaging on your posts, and it's just kind of comes full circle.
Yeah.
And I've never actually seen someone approach ads that way and get people so, like, excited about an ad. Like, you have to be a good influencer to get people excited about an ad.
Yeah. Yeah. Then you've got to really be speaking from the heart on that product and not sounding probably salesy and markety is probably the big difference, that it's not spotted as an ad right away.
Yeah.
Like they say, good advertising blends in with the rest of the feed. It doesn't.
Yeah. Like, so that's my new strategy coming into 2020, is to, like, get my audience on the ad campaign journey with me.
Okay.
And maybe, like, include them more in on it, and like what I'm, like, doing with it. And it makes me, like, reinvigorated, I guess, to get back into it.
Yeah, definitely. Because at the end of the day, I mean, it is, even if you're just doing it for a year, and if you're posting like every day or every two or every 3 days, that still is a good amount of commitment. So you have to be enjoying what you're doing to be.
Yeah, and especially now with stories, like, you're on story, like, now influencers have to be on stories all the time. So that's even more commitment.
Yeah, right. Always putting something out for your own followers. Yeah. So it is a commitment. You got to like what you're doing. So there's plenty of people who listen to this show that there's some that own businesses. So some probably got a lot of great value just in terms of, your content tweaks and various things for how they can get more reach. And then there's a bunch that love the idea of, even if they never get paid a dollar, if they can be like, if I can shout out Taco Bell and get a free gordita, like, that would be nice. So if they want some extra help, if they've been trying for a while and it's just not working for them, is it okay if they reach out and DM you and just kind of ask for some help with what they're doing?
Yeah, for sure. Like, I'd love to, like, give you guys some tips if you want to get in my DMs. I love to help people with this stuff. And if it turns into a bigger thing and we need more help, we can discuss that further. But I just love the idea of helping people get started with their media kit or whatever it is.
Yeah, it's fun connecting with people, especially if they're like, I heard you on the podcast.
Yeah, I know. I'll be so excited because I'll be like, well, this is weird.
Because
I always go find people after I'm on a podcast, and I think of them as like a celebrity because I heard them on a podcast, and then they're like a real person with, like, you know, they're not these like mega followers people, and I'm like, wow, they're just a normal person.
Right. Yeah, I've gotten it sometimes too, with, like, because most people that I bring on the show, like I said, I've been like listening to the podcast, and they're like, oh my god, you're like famous. I'm like, oh, I've like 1573 followers currently, so if that means
famous, you're famous to me. I would felt that way too.
Yeah, that's on my IDM Secrets account, by the way, guys. I have a much bigger account that I actually gathered my Instagram marketing tips before I started a podcast. So that's just our podcast account, just to clarify. But Chanel, anything else you'd like to say to people before we sign off here?
I guess I would just say, like, if you really want to get in the influencer world, like, don't feel bad for just doing stuff for, like, just to dabble in it. Like, my first paid campaign was like $10 with Dunkin' Donuts. Like, don't be afraid to just, like, put yourself out there, because it gets you more comfortable. It's fun. And before you know it, you'll be able to just, you'll know how much you're worth for a post, and you'll be there. It's only been a year and I'm already there. So,
yeah.
And I hope I'll be even more there in years to come.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, once you get over that, the speed boost of, you know, 2K, 5K, 10K kind of all have like a growth boost. And it looks like some of your last posts have gotten more likes than any of the other ones. So guys, again, thank you so much, Chanel, for being on the podcast. Her handle is Chanel Whitley. So that's ChanelWhitley. Reach out if you've got some specific questions for her, or if you just want to say thanks so much for coming on the podcast, then we always really appreciate hearing anything from you guys. So Chanel, thanks so much again, and have a great day.
Thank you so much for having me. Bye.
Bye. for you guys. Thank you so much for listening to the end. You truly are a badass for listening to that entire interview. So many people just make it through the first half and then they don't finish it, and you're really missing so much stuff, because the end of these interviews is always where we get to the real meat and potatoes. So I have a reward for you for making it to the end. If you leave me a review of the podcast, DM me a screenshot of it, I'm going to hop into your account and give you 3 tips specific to your business. I know there's only so many of you. We're going to make it to the end of the interview and hear this part. That means you're committed to what your business is trying to do and everything that you're trying to do out in the world. And I would like to reward you. Of course, I'm still asking for the review, but hey, that's a solid trade in my opinion. And it's not something I can offer at the beginning of the episode without just getting blown up by way too many screenshots and everything like that that I have to then deliver on. So again, leave a review of the podcast, screenshot it. You're going to want to screenshot it before you submit it, because it takes a little bit for it to actually show up, especially if you do Apple Podcasts. Then DM me at IGM Secrets that screenshot. I'm going to hop into your account. I'm going to give you 3 tips that have not been covered on the podcast that are very specific to your exact account. And it's going to be strategies that you can apply immediately to start gaining more followers, start converting those profile visits into people who want to follow you. So what I mean by that, getting your post to go further, looking at your hashtags, whatever needs to be fixed right away so that you can start getting results. I'm going to find that out for you. And I promise I always over deliver on these analyses. So guys, stay tuned for the recap interview next week, or not the recap interview, but the recap episode of the interview. And I'm going to dive in and give you my 2 cents on how you can become that local micro influencer and carve out your niche so you can get started right away. I will talk to you guys next week.